Blog Talk Radio.
Himself in Torah, he gave himself as Messiah.
And this all points to one Elohim. Because for Israel, Israel can never say that there's more than one Elohim. The scriptures tell us we are his witnesses, that he alone is Elohim, and that he will not form another one. And so we are going through the titles to show that every title that he gives himself as Elohim, he gives himself as the Messiah. And it all points to one Elohim, that he's doing it all. No matter how it's written or how you read it, there's only one. And so we are doing tonight Elohim, our shepherd, and our king. And so I pray that you get something out of this. We want to welcome everybody in Pal Talk, in Blog Talk, on the internet in general, wherever you may be. Whether you're in North America or South America, whether you are on the African continent, in the Middle East, the Far East, the European theater, the communist bloc countries, we greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus the Christ. I want to go ahead and let me talk about a couple of things real quick. I have been looking at this series before. It's called The Knowledge of the Forever Time. And, you know, it is basically about Egypt and the pyramids. And I've told, you know, us on different shows or different lessons that the scripture says that the Egyptians are the people of the Most High. And so, says, blessed be Egypt, my people. Israel is this inheritance in the earth. But the scripture says that the Most High says that Egypt is his people. And so I ran across this brother. I'm not really into Egyptology. You know, I've read some things, and my main concern is if it's not about salvation, you know, what difference does it make? If you're not saved, what difference does any of this make? It doesn't matter. You can, you know, have itching ears. You can read about all kind of different things. You can, you know, study and look at all kind of different things, and I'm not against that, okay? But if you're not saved, then none of that matters. You can be running, you know, chasing knowledge and never bother to become saved, and so then it's all for nothing. So this ministry has always been focused on, you know, being saved first, and then you can go after, you know, those tidbits of knowledge that, you know, they're out there to be had. And I'm not, like I said, I'm not against, you know, going after that and looking into it. But mainly, for me, I want to be saved, and I want to live saved and holy, and I want to make sure that I'm doing everything I can first to make it into the kingdom. You know, and that's number one priority. Because, you know, as I say, if you're not saved, then none of this matters. Your end is already written. You're going to the lake. So, you know, but as I was saying, I've been listening and looking at this. I ran into it about, I'm going to say about 3 years ago, I first saw this. And I know a lot of what he says is true, okay? And so I've been listening to his theories. And maybe sometime toward the end of this year, you know, we will play them online. You know, I pray people come into the room. The videos are better when you can see it. But a lot of the things that are in this world that, you know, people are running around and saying things about, what this, he's the only person that I've ever seen, heard, that when he actually, okay, it actually makes sense. He's not, you know, it's not like he's guessing. It's like he's speaking with some authority. And so I have to tell you his story sometime. But as I said, you know, I had been looking for these. And, you know, in the end, it's about this earth and, the, you know, this earth is on a revolving schedule. I'll just put it that way. It gets destroyed, it gets recreated. And, you know, when we read Genesis 1:1, and the Most High tells Adam and Eve to be fruitful and multiply, and the key word there is to replenish the earth, as though the earth had been filled at one time, and now it has, now it's not, and I want you to refill it again. And so, you know, I've looked at those things, and he uses the same terminology when he talks to Noah, when he destroys the earth by a flood. He says the exact same thing to Noah and his sons: be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And we know before the flood that there were men in the world. So when he uses this terminology, replenish, then, you know, it makes sense after the flood. But then when we're reading Genesis chapter 1 or chapter 2, and he says it to Adam and Eve, we assume that it's the first time that it's ever been done. But that word doesn't fit this. So, you know, I know from archaeology and different things in the world that we are not the first civilization here. And we are not the most intelligent one that's been here. There's things in this world that we still cannot reproduce. Buildings and things like that that we can't reproduce. We can't reproduce the pyramids. We can't reproduce some things in South America. You know, things that they find, the further they go back, the more advanced the civilization was. And, you know, we are building on top of what's already done. So, you know, I've always been fascinated with it, and I just thought that, you know, we would change it up a little and we would look into this, because knowledge is knowledge, and it's what you do with it. But as I said, the ministry is actually about salvation and living in the kingdom and being saved, because if you're not that and you're looking for other things, have itching ears, you want to know about this, you want to know about that, but you're not living a saved life, then it's all for nothing. But, you know, I guess it depends upon what your goal is in life and where you want to end up at. But anyway, I've been working on the website for Yes to Run Farms, and it had crashed, and had to do a lot of work to get it back. And, you know, I got it back, and I got it back better than it was. I'm going to send everybody a link for you to go check it out. I'll put in a zip code in there because we will start shipping the powder U.S. and Canada-wide, but, you know, microgreens themselves as a fresh plant, fresh produce, we can't ship it anywhere. But we will ship the powder. So, but just want you to go on and, you know, peruse the site, look around, see if there's anything that you think can be improved, could flow better. I know that I think we've been missing sales because it was not allowing sales. But I had, you know, put myself, was too busy to actually work on it. But now everything is fixed and working the way that it should. And so, you know, we're going to be promoting the website more on different platforms. And so that was just an update there. Anyway, welcome to everybody. Let me have the ladies cover their heads. Any men listening, uncover your heads. Let us turn toward the east. And let us do our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Mashiach, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give our Elohim a hand clap of praise on this evening. Hallelujah, Father. We just give you glory and honor and praise. And we magnify your name, O Yah Elohim, and we lift you up. And we give you all the glory, honor, and praise. And truly, you are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy by yourself. Hallelujah. And so, Father, we just come together on tonight. And we give you glory and honor and praise. And we honor you in this your word, Father. And we ask that you would be with us here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah and hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Holy hands raised. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen. The sounding of the shofar. As soon as I find it, there we go. Pray everybody's having a blessed week. Let's go to Isaiah 42 and 8. The book of Isaiah 42 and 8. And we're going to start with this verse. Because we have to understand that when we are making a comparison between Messiah, Yeshua, and the Most High, then we got to understand that the Most High has already set a standard that he says, I am Yah, that is my name, and my glory will I not share with another, neither my praise to graven images. So the Most High will not share his glory with another, but every title, every accolade that he gives to himself, he gives to Messiah, to Yeshua. And so the scriptures can't break themselves. We can't break them and say, see, he's sharing his glory with another. You have to understand that they are one in the same. And his glory, he's going to be preeminent in everything. He's going to be first in everything, and he's going to give his glory not to anyone else, not even to Messiah. Okay? So if everything, if he gives all of his titles to Messiah, then we have to understand that they are one and the same. Okay? So we're going to start off this evening with Psalm 24. The book of Psalm 24. Psalm chapter 24, and we're going to be reading the entire psalm. A psalm of David. The earth is Yah's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the flood, hill of Yah, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing from Yah and the righteousness from the Elohim of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob, Selah. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. So Yah says that he is the King of glory. Who is the King of glory? Yah, strong and mighty. Yah, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lifting them up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? Yah of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah. So this is an accolade that the Most High gives himself, the King of glory. Okay, and so we got to understand that he names himself as a king. And he's telling, you know, the psalmist David, and this is a title for him. Go to Psalms 44. The book of Psalms 44. And let's get verse 4. Psalms 44 and verse 4. Thou art my king, O Elohim. Command deliverance for Jacob. So, Yah, you are my king. Go to Psalm 74 and 12. Psalm 74 and 12. And the word of the Most High reads, for Elohim is my king of old, working salvation in the midst of the earth. Now, the Most High is the king of the world. But he started off in the other psalm saying that, you know, everything in the earth belongs to him. So he's not just Israel's king. But the rest of the world don't recognize him as king. But he's claiming that, hey, I created everything, and it belongs to me. Let's go back to there real quick, Psalm 24. So we make sure that we understand we didn't miss anything there. Psalm 24. The earth is Yah, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. The earth. So if Yah is claiming to be king, he's king of the earth. He's king of the world. And we got to know that. And so he selects a people out of the earth, and he selects some territory out of the earth for himself. And he says, in the end, I'm going to be king over it all. But my creation has gone astray. When I scattered men and they got their own mind, they started electing their own kings, making their own laws. But the earth is God, and the laws and the statutes and the commandments and the ordinances are for the earth. So Yah is the king of the earth. Let's read that verse again. Psalm 21. The earth is Yah's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Now he tells us that he is the king of glory. In the earth, his title is the king of glory over all the earth. And then he takes the title as the king of Israel, his people. But the earth is supposed to be, and all them, everybody who dwells in the earth is supposed to be in submission to Yah Elohim. Let's not make any mistake about that. He's not just the king of Israel. All the earth belongs to him. And in the end, he's going to bring all the earth back under subjection to him. Go back to Psalm 74 and 12. Psalm 74 and verse 12. Now David is the psalmist, and he's saying, he said before in the Psalm before 44, that Yah is his king. For Elohim is my king of old, working salvation in the midst of the earth. He is the king that is working salvation, the salvation of all mankind. But we know that everybody is not going to make it. Okay? But it's his desire that salvation should come to all mankind. But mankind has to accept it. And then mankind has been in revolt, rebellion from the beginning. Go to Isaiah 43. This is Yah as king. And then we're going to look at Messiah as king. Because every accolade that the Most High gives to himself, every glory that he gives to himself, he gives to Messiah. Okay? So either the scriptures would contradict, or we would have to understand that the Most High and Messiah are one and the same. He's not going to contradict. Isaiah 43. And let's get verse 10 through 15, Isaiah 43, starting in verse 10. This is for Israel, okay? And it's really for anyone who is wanting to be a part of Israel or wanting to be the part of Messiah's body. You are my witnesses, saith Yah, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me. Now see, in the New Testament, Messiah says, who shall believe our report? That's in John, but it's also coming from Isaiah 52 or 53. Who shall believe our report? It's not the report of the prophet. It's the report of Father and Son. Who's going to believe this, our report? Okay? Now, it's talking like there's two, but there's really only one. You are my witnesses, saith Yah, and my servants whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no Elohim formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am Yah, and beside me there is no Savior. This is the Most High speaking. He said, hey, there ain't no other Savior. He didn't say he was sending anybody else. I have declared and have saved, and I have showed when there was no strange Elohim among you. Therefore, you are my witnesses, saith Yah, that I am Elohim. That's number one. We are supposed to be his witnesses of that. There is only him. You, yea, before the day was, I am he. Before there was a day or a night, before it was split, I am he. And there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? Who's going to stop it? Who's going to say, you can go ahead and do that, or you got permission to do that? He says, I will work. I don't get permission from nobody. Who's going to stop me from doing what I'm going to do, whatever I'm going to do? Thus saith Yah, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake I have sent to Babylon and have brought down all the nobles and the Chaldeans whose cry is in the ships. I am Yah, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Now, he created Israel to be a witness to him and to be his priesthood. Okay? That's what Israel's job is. Israel wants to feel like, I've heard brothers say that, you know, Israel is the only people Yah has ever dealt with. That's not true. It's just not true. Okay? And so we got to understand when we say that we're Israel, that we are called to a specific job, to be a witness to him and to be his priesthood, to minister to him, to be the go-between between man and Elohim. That was our job. And to bring, to preach the gospel of the kingdom for which we got fired. We don't, you know, we don't want to say that either. But yeah, we got fired. Okay? Our forefathers got fired. We had to be grafted back in ourselves. Go to Isaiah 19. And let's get verse 20. Let's get start at verse 23. Now I need to teach this one day. Isaiah 19, verse starting in verse 23. In that day there shall be a highway out of Egypt to Assyria, and the Assyrians shall come into Egypt, and the Egyptian into Assyria, and the Egyptian shall serve with the Assyrian. And in that day shall Israel be a third with Egypt, a third with Egypt and with Assyria. So Israel is one part that the Most High deals with, that's the priesthood. Egypt, I'm going to tell you who that is, and Assyria. In that day shall Israel be a third with Egypt and with Assyria, even a blessing in the midst of the land, whom Yah hosts shall bless, saying, blessed be Egypt, my people, and Assyria, the works of my hands, and Israel, my inheritance. We got to know who we are and what who we are to the Most High. Okay. And would Israel be his people too? Yes, if there is his inheritance, but he's telling us specifically, I was an Elohim or the Elohim of Egypt. I also was over the Assyrians. And in the end, it's going to be that way again. But we got to understand what we were created for. We were created to be a witness that he alone is Elohim, that he alone is the Savior, that he alone is the Redeemer of all mankind. These other nations, they were doing their own thing, but the Most High said, this is my people and this is my inheritance. This is the works of my hands. So we just got to walk in that. Okay? He's the King of the world, the King of glory. And then he created Israel to be a king over Israel, over his priesthood, over his inheritance, so that nobody else is supposed to rule over his inheritance. No Gentile nation. It is against the law of the Most High for any Gentile to rule over a Hebrew Israelite. Only if the Most High sends them into captivity. And then they're not to actually treat us like slaves. That's scripture. But they did anyway. Okay, but our job is to show that he is king and that he is king over all the earth and that he alone is the Savior and the Redeemer of all mankind. Okay, let's go to Isaiah 44, the book of Isaiah chapter 44. Yah, our King. Isaiah 44, let's get verses 6 through 8. Thus saith Yah, the King of Israel, and his, Israel's, Redeemer, Yah of hosts. I am the first and I am the last, and besides me there is no Elohim. Besides me there is not one. He told us in chapter 10, I'm not going, he told us up, no, down in verse 10, I believe it is. No, Isaiah 43, he told us. I'm not going to form another Elohim. There was not one formed before me. There's not going to be one formed after me. There ain't going to be no after him. So can't be one formed. And that's technically speaking, not even a literal son. Got to understand that. We cannot break the scriptures, okay? He won't form one. Wasn't one formed before him. There's not going to be one formed after him. And so that would mean that technically speaking, literally, he could not have a son. He had to come as his own son. And said, we were his witnesses. But he is our king. We serve a mighty king. We serve the most high king that there is. King of kings. He makes kings. But nobody rules over him. Ever. But he rules over other kings. So we got to understand who we are serving. Verse 7. And who as I shall call and shall declare it? Who's going to declare things like I do and set it in order for me? Since I appoint the ancient people and the things that are coming and shall come, let them show unto them. Who can do this other than our king? Show things before. Appoint things to happen before they happen. Who can set it in order for me? No, it's going to happen like this. This going to happen, then this going to happen, then this going to happen. Most High says, no, nobody does that but me. Okay. Verse 8. Fear you not, neither be afraid. Have not I told thee from that time and have declared it? You are even my witnesses. Is there an Elohim besides me? There is no Elohim. I know not any. So we can't make another God. We can't say that Messiah is a God apart from the Most High, separate and apart from the Most High. Because that would make two gods, two Elohim. So people try to say it's a family. It's a family. No, there's only one. He's King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He is over all the earth. And we are his witnesses. He don't know another Elohim, so we can't. How can we know something he don't know? If there, I know not any. Okay. And so there's really no other king over the earth but him. He has claimed that title for himself. So we can never say, give that title to anyone else. Only the Most High can. Go to Jeremiah chapter 10. The book of Jeremiah. Chapter 10, and we're going to get verse 10. Jeremiah 10 and 10. But Yah is the true Elohim. He is the living Elohim and everlasting King. Everlasting means that he don't ever give up that title. He might put somebody in place in his stead like David and Saul, because all the kings of Israel sat on the throne belongs to the Most High. He is the King of Israel. He's the king of the earth. So that throne belongs to him. All thrones belong to him. And he allows people to sit in those thrones over those areas. But they belong to him. And all the kings of the earth are going to have to, at some point or another, give the Most High that glory and that honor and that praise. Because I'm the one that gives power and authority. I'm the one that sets things in order. And you are only sitting in that throne because I allow it. So David, you know, we're going to talk about Israel because that's what we really know about. But David and Saul and Solomon and all the other kings of Israel are sitting in and occupying the Most High's throne in Israel. And the Most High says, I'm going to be back to take my throne. I only allowed you to do that because you wouldn't wait on me. I want you to hear this. The Most High was ruling Israel through the prophet, and he was the king of Israel. And through the prophet, he gave his orders and his commandments. He didn't talk directly to men. He talked directly with Moses. Moses was something else. He's special. He talked with Joshua. He talked with David. He talked directly with Solomon. But typically, he talked through his prophets. And the people wanted an Elohim they could see. They wanted a king they could see. So they asked the Most High, give us a king like all the other nations have. And I think it was Samuel. I have to look that up, but I believe it was Samuel. You know, he was upset. The Most High said, don't worry, Samuel. It's not you they're firing. It's me. But he gave them a king. Okay, but he told them all the time, I'm your king. Okay, and I'm coming. He kept telling them through the prophets, I'm coming. They didn't want to wait. So he gave them a king that they could see. Okay. I'm the everlasting king. At his wrath, the earth shall tremble. And the nation shall not be able to abide his indignation. He's coming. This, the King of Kings, the King of the world, the King of the earth is coming to set things in order. And since he's going to do it on this physical earth, then he's going to come in his physical body, which is the body of Messiah. And we'll see that. We'll see that in when we look at Messiah. Zechariah chapter 14. The book of Zechariah chapter 14. 9. Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 9. And Yah shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Yah, and his name one. People are going to know, when they see Messiah, there is no other. When he takes the throne, there ain't no other. You're looking at the one, the same Elohim of the Torah when you look at Messiah. That's why when I believe it was Peter asked him, show us the Father and we'll be satisfied. And he says, have I been so long with you that you have not known me? Why say show you the Father? You're looking at it. I mean, he tells us straight up in the scripture. So he's the king over all the earth. And all the kingdoms, kings of the earth. In the end, the Most High is going to strip them of their power and give it to his saints. That's why he says you shall rule with him one day, 1,000 years. If you suffer with him, then you'll sit in his throne with him. You'll sit in his authority. You'll represent him. And you have to rule how he rules. He's going to rule with a rod of iron. We get by with a lot of stuff. And we think that the Most High is slack. And maybe we think he's a weak king or something. Because, you know, we don't get punished as soon as we mess up. Because there's a day coming, I'm going to rule with a rod of iron. And those that I give authority in my throne, to sit in my throne, to sit in my authority with me, they're going to have to rule the same way over all the earth. Okay? Yah shall be king over all the earth, and in that day shall there be one Yah, and his name one. Only one name people are going to call on as far as authority goes, as far as worship goes, going to do away with all the false gods, king of the earth, and you, everything's going to bow to me, everyone's going to bow to me, every knee's going to bow to me, and give me my due. Now let's look at Messiah. Go to Matthews. Remember, the Most High says, this glory will he not share with another. Then Messiah should never have any of the same titles or accolades that the Most High has, unless he is the Most High. Matthew chapter 2. And let's get verses 1 through 6. Now when Yeshua was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the city, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east of Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? The wise men knew, hey, there's a king born in Israel, in Jerusalem. Somewhere in the country, there's a king born, and Daniel is the one that taught them. They came looking. Now, you a king, and Herod is the king right now. What do you think going through Herod's mind? What are you talking about? I'm the king. No, there's another king. There's one that was born king of the Jews. You wasn't born king of the Jews. Okay. For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled. And all Jerusalem with him. Wait a minute. This, you thought you was king. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, art not least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor, a ruler, that shall rule my people Israel. So we see that Messiah, it was prophesied that he will be born king. Thing is that he didn't come to rule at this time. And had they fully looked into the prophet, then they would have known that he had to come and die for their sins. They would have known that. But they didn't look that far because they didn't want to look that far. And even when you read this story of his birth and the shepherd coming to, you know, to the manger, the wise men never saw Messiah in a manger. Those were shepherds. They came and saw him in the manger, but the wise men never did. They saw him when he was 2 or 3 years old. And so, it's prophesied. Now, the sitting king, Herod, he gets upset. And, you know, he tells the wise men, hey, go and seek him out and tell me when you find him so I can go worship him. But he's gonna go. He's in his mind the whole time. He's going to go kill this child. You born king? I can put a stop to that real quick. And they were brutal in those days. So we have Messiah being prophesied that he would be born, that he would be born king of Israel. But Isaiah told us that the Most High is king of Israel. Isaiah in chapter 40 told us that the Elohim of Israel was coming to visit Israel. And that's what John was supposed to tell him. Behold your Elohim. If they're beholding their Elohim, then they're also beholding their king. And the people realized who he was when they were hollering, Hosanna, Hosanna, save us, son of David, our king. They were going to make him king, but he didn't come to take the throne. That's why he came riding on a donkey. Came riding on a donkey because, you know, if you go into war, you do not come in on a donkey. You come in on a stallion, a big horse, fitting of your position and your title. But he came on a donkey. And when a king would come in on a donkey, he said, I'm coming in peace. I'm not coming to rule over you. I'm coming in peace. He came for another mission. But he prophesied, he's the king. The king is coming to die for his what? Citizens. To redeem them to his kingdom. To redeem us. Let's go to Luke chapter 19. The book of Luke, chapter 19. And let's get verses 32 through 38. Luke chapter 19, verses 32 through 38. And the word of the Most High reads, And they that were sent went their way, and found even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, that is, they call it a colt here. Another place they're going to call it a donkey or an ass. This a colt is a baby horse. And he's going to ride into Jerusalem on this colt or on this ass. And the people are going, you know, his people are going to be saying who he is. They're going to be throwing down, you know, these palm branches and everything, giving him this royal greeting. But this is also... This would have been the 10th day of Nisan when Israel was gathering, going to get their lambs as well. The Most High brought his lamb into Israel. But he's coming riding on a colt. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, Why loose you the colt? And they said, Yah has need of him. And they brought him to Yeshua, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Yeshua thereon. And as he went, they in the way, they're giving him this royal presentation. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise Elohim with a loud voice for all the mighty works that he had seen. Saying, blessed be the king that cometh in the name of Yah. So, that, you know, they're not actually calling him the king, but they are. Okay, and the people are hearing this. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. Tell them to stop that. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it. So he's coming riding on a colt, not a stallion, on an ass. So in another verse or another book, he'll call it an ass. And he is not coming to conquer. He's not coming to take his throne. If he was coming to conquer or take his throne, then he would be coming on a stallion, a full-grown horse. Okay, so understand that he's letting them know, I'm not coming to take anything. I come in peace. Okay? Go to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Timothy chapter 6. And let's get verses 13 through 15. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 13 through 15. I give thee charge in the sight of Elohim, who quickens all things, and before Yeshua HaMashiach, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord and I'm going to say Lord Jesus Christ, our Master Yeshua HaMashiach, which is in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of Kings. He's titled the King of Kings, which is the title King of the Earth. and Yah of Yah. So he's taking that title. It's given to him. King of kings. But the Most High says, I'm the king over all the earth. So now this same title is being given to Messiah. King of kings, the king over all the earth. Go to Rahab 15. The book of Rahab, chapter 15. Good grief. That looks like an Artemis. I believe that's Hebrews. Hebrews. In the book of Rahab. Hebrews. Chapter 15. I bet Jerry's like, where the heck is that at? Hebrews. Put my glasses on. Make sure I'm not reading that wrong. I sure wrote that down that way. I may have wrote this down wrong. Just a second. I think I did. Hebrews 15. There's no Hebrews 15, so that can't be it. Give me a hot second to figure out what I was supposed to write here. I think it was a typo, and it probably should be Revelation 15. Revelation 15, chapter 1 through, Revelation 15, verses 1 through 4. And I think I'm going to have to skip that verse. Wrote down the wrong verse. I can't remember what I was supposed to have there. Go to Revelation 19. The book of Revelation, chapter 19. Revelation 19, starting in verse 11. And I apologize, but I wrote that down wrong, so you can't remember what it was. Revelation 19, verse 11. Maybe I can get it from here. One second. I hate those types of mistakes. It should have been Revelation 15. Revelation 15, verses 1 through 4. All right, and I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of Elohim. And I saw as there were a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image, over his mark, and over the number of his name stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of Elohim. And they sang the song of Moses, the servant of Elohim, the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are thy works, Yah Elohim Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of the saints. Now, this is in Revelation, so this is actually talking about Messiah. Who shall not fear thee, O Yah, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy. For all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. So we know Revelation is the revealing of Messiah, and this is talking about Messiah as Yah Elohim Almighty, King of the saints. Okay, and now let's go to Revelation chapter 19. And let's get verses 11 through 16. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he does judge and make war. His eyes are a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of Elohim. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth forth was a sharp two-edged sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty Elohim. And he has on his vesture, on his thigh, a name written, King of Kings, Kings and Lord of Lords. So he's taking the title King of Kings. It's given to him from the position of Messiah. And the Most High said that he's King of Kings in Torah. Let us go to Luke chapter 23. And Pilate asked him, saying, Art thou the King of the Jews? And he answered him, saying, Thou sayest it. He didn't come out right out and tell Pilate that he was the King of the Jews. He said, But you say it. But he knows that he is the King of the Jews, King of the world. He said, Hey, you are one saying it. I'm not here to take on this right now. Let's go to John chapter 18, the book of John chapter 18. And let us get verse 37, John 18 and 37. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Yeshua answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. I'm not going to deny what you're saying to me, but I'm not also going to take that title because I came in the world for a different purpose. John 19 and 21. The book of John, chapter 19, verse 21. Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, Write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am the King of the Jews. Messiah never said that. But they want Pilate to write that he said he was the King of the Jews. But the wise men are the ones that said that. And so they are saying, well, since he's dying, let's try to discredit him in this way. But Pilate wouldn't do it. Pilate said, I will write what I have written. And so we see that Messiah gets the title as our king, and he's going to have that title when he comes back. The Most High is not coming to the earth in spirit form as our king. Coming in the form and the body of Messiah as the king of Israel, as the king of the earth, as the king of the world. But we have to also acknowledge that and understand that that's who we serve. And that Messiah has the same titles as the Most High because he is the Most High. There's only one Elohim. It is, if I'm in spirit or whether I'm in flesh, these are my titles. And I'm not sharing them with anybody else. He didn't give anybody else the title King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Are there any questions, Messiah and the Most High being the King, before we move on to the Shepherd, which I'm sure we all know who and what that is as well?
No question.
All right, amen. And I apologize for the one scripture where I misquoted it or misreferenced it, but it happened. Let's look at the Shepherd. The Most High saying that he's the Shepherd and Messiah, having the title of the Shepherd. Let's go to Psalms 23. Psalms chapter 23. And we're going to read the entire Psalm. A Psalm of David. Yah is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of Yah forever. So the first verse tells us that Yah is our shepherd. Isaiah 40. The book of Isaiah chapter 40. And we're going to get verses 10 and 11. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 10 and 11. Behold, Yah Elohim will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. So Yah is going to, what, feed his flock like a shepherd, taking that title of shepherd and the role of a shepherd. Psalms 100, the complete psalm. Psalms 100. And the word of the Most High reads, Psalm of praise. Make a joyful noise unto Yah, all ye lands. Serve Yah with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know you that Yah, he is Elohim. It is he that has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For Yah is good, and mercy, and his mercy is everlasting. And his truth endureth for all generations. So we are the sheep of his pasture, which means that he would be our shepherd by default. Let's look at Messiah with the same title. Let's go to the book of John, chapter 10. John chapter 10. And let's get verses 8 through 12. Well, let's start in verse 7. Then said Yeshua unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. So the good shepherd understands that he's to protect the sheep even unto his life. The hireling, as soon as things get rough, there's hard times, or the wolf comes, or the lion, they run. They're not going to stay there. It starts storming, they're not going to stay. But the good thing, Messiah says he is the good shepherd. Go to 1 Peter chapter 2. Book of 1 Peter chapter 2. Let's get verses 21 through 25. First Peter chapter 2, starting in verse 21. For even hereto were you called, because Mashiach also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. When he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judged righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you are healed. For you were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your soul. So here we have Messiah being called, and the title being the shepherd and the bishop of our soul. He has the same title as the shepherd, as the Most High has from Torah. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20. The book of Hebrews. Chapter 13. And verse 1. Now the Elohim of peace that brought again from the dead our master Yeshua HaMashiach, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. So we see in this verse that Messiah, again, has the title, the great shepherd of the sheep. And that should be actually capitalized in there, because it is a title. But they didn't, so no big deal. But it should be. 1 Peter chapter 5. The book of 1 Peter chapter 5. In verse 4. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. So Messiah has the title of the chief shepherd, the good shepherd, and so forth. And so the same accolades that the Most High gives to himself are also given to Messiah. this all points to one Elohim. That he might be preeminent in all things, that he might have the same titles that he has in the spirit, in heaven, he'll have those same titles on the earth. Because they belong to him and to him alone. Any questions on Messiah, our shepherd, the Most High, our shepherd?
No, sir.
All right. With that being said, that's all we're going to cover tonight. We will have the business meeting on Thursday this week. We will try to finish up those applications that we've been working on. And then we got a busy week at the farmer's market. And I'll discuss that on Thursday. Try to take some time and discuss it on Thursday. Everything is growing like weeds now. Everything. And so I am happy. Before I came on to the lesson tonight, I was putting in or creating a bubbler system in the hydroponic system for the rack that we put in not too long ago, because I needed to add oxygen to the water to keep down on the algae and that kind of stuff. So I was working on that, and it's, you know, it's going to be loud, but it's going to be good. And it should, you know, allow us to grow, add another 9 trays to our growing environment. So, you know, we are getting orders and, you know, pre-orders and things like that, and so we have to grow, increase the growth to meet those things. But if there are no comments, any no questions, then we're going to go ahead and dismiss for the evening. I think I'm feeling kind of tired anyway. Been up since maybe 3 this morning. Again, I'll send you an email out. Look over the website and see if you can think of any way that we might improve it. I'm also going to start some coupons from the website so that, you know, in the email, if you're going to the farmer's market, if I say, like, market 05 or anything like that, then if they buy at the market, or if they, you know, say that, then they'll get a 5% discount. Or like on Hebrew Connect, that site, I'm going to be offering people on that set a coupon when they buy from the website. They'll say like Hebrew Connect 10, and we'll give them, you know, anybody on Hebrew Connect a 10% discount. I'm looking to see what other coupons we're going to offer, but I'll get, you know, I'll update you on that so that we can try to, you know, we're trying to increase sales and get up to that $4,000 a month where we're trying to reach. And once we're there, then, you know, we can really start doing some other things, especially toward the land, until, you know, anything else comes in. But, you know, the microgreens and that kind of stuff is steadily growing, and the sales are steadily growing. So the coupons are another way to do that. All right, with that being said, may the Most High bless you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. Until we meet again, remember, I love you. I really do, but I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. Fear Yah and keep his commandments, saints, for this is our whole duty. Shalom, and enjoy the rest of your evening. You're getting about an hour back, or 30 minutes, something like that.
can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yeah, who are you? I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient, hanging with the Mishpachah, good vibrations. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yeah, who are you?
Peace and blessings to you all. Shalom.